Coke is better when you drink a whole glass or a whole can, because when you drink Pepsi, it's a little too sweet. If you down five Pepsis in like 30 minutes, you're probably going to have a sore stomach. But Coke is not as sweet. It's not as bitter. So, and with one taste, the Pepsi tasted better. It tasted sweeter, so people liked it better. But that is the problem, is that they were sipping, not drinking. And if you kind of take this to a spiritual context, remember, Coke is God, Pepsi is the bad stuff, it's the world. Some people have a hard time living for God because they are only sipping God. And in a sip test, when you sip God and you sip the world, a lot of times the world might taste better. Things that come from, because, you know, the whole idea that sin is pleasurable for a season. If you're sipping stuff, you're not really dedicating your life to one or another. Sin can taste very good. It can taste sweet. And the God stuff, you know, the righteousness, the holiness, the living for God, the changing your life, that doesn't really taste that well all the time when you're just sipping. So, like in the Pepsi Challenge, in these sip tests, you got small doses of immediate gratification where, oh, I can just sip this and it tastes good. But if you down a whole case of Pepsi, you're going to be regretting it later because it's sweet and it's almost too sweet and it'll make you sick. But Coke is much more refreshing and satisfying. Can the Coke drinker say amen? So just like Pepsi versus Coke, we are, everyone has an emptiness inside of them. Everybody has a desire for something. So what you drink and what you take in, it really matters. So when you sip God and when you sip the world or things that are not of God, you might be misguided as to what really satisfies. Another mistake that that Coke made was they changed the formula. You had a priceless treasure in your hand, the Coke formula. It's like locked away in a vault in Atlanta, and people, vault in Atlanta. And, you know, you have to be somebody to know that formula. Not everyone knows that formula. It's very secretive. So, and they had something that was successful since, when did Coke start? The 30s, maybe? I don't know. But for all these years, you had all these people loved Coke. All these people liked the formula. And then Coke decides they want to change the formula. Well, a lot of times we think that changing the formula is the answer. When all along, the formula is not the problem. The problem is, how much of the formula am I taking in? And what context am I putting the formula in? For example, when you make a mistake, the answer is not to stay out. I know we feel shame, we feel guilt, but the answer is running back to the house of God when we make a mistake. Because it's not the formula. God is the answer. So we might have been just sipping God and being satisfied with just little sips here and there. But don't change the formula. Don't change the formula to something sweeter, because in the end it really won't satisfy you, it'll just make you sick. And when bad things happen, or when circumstances aren't so great, you know, bad things happen to everyone. This morning, Sunday, I got up ready for church, and I get in the car, and I had it in reverse and I was ready to go, and I got a text from my mom, who they're coming back from out of town today, and she texted me saying, "Don't forget the Father's Day stuff in the house." And I was like, she would have hurt me if I forgot that stuff. So I went back in, and my mind was on finding everything, and I had it all in my hands, and I walked out the door and locked my keys in the house. And I'm just like, whoa, I was already running late. And anyway, so, you know, bad things happen to everybody. You know, locking the keys in your house, there can be way much worse things. I'm not saying it. But bad things happen to all of us. Nobody, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And what that means is blessing falls on everyone and curse falls on everyone. Bad things happen to everyone, good things happen. So you can't look at circumstances and say, well, that person is living for God, or no, that person's bad, they're sinning, you know, because the rain falls on all of us. But when bad things happen or when circumstances are great, the problem isn't to change the formula, because the formula is not wrong. Don't change the formula, because then people are going to be upset. Don't change the formula. Don't exchange God for something else. The answer is not sipping. Sipping will never satisfy. If I'm thirsty and all someone gave me was a little thimble of water, I'm going to be pretty upset. Has anybody just been so thirsty, and when you finally get that water or that Coke or whatever it is, it's just like rivers of living water flowing through you? Because sipping never satisfies. I'm not even a person. Some people, they'll at dinner, they'll have one glass for the entire meal. That is not me. I'm like on the fifth glass before the meal gets there, and then I have like three more during it. I'm just a drinker. Because sipping is never going to satisfy your thirst, and nibbling is never going to satisfy your hunger. Isaiah 12:3 says, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." Not the thimbles, not the puddles, but the wells of salvation. There's a lot of water in a well, and it's really deep. So sipping will never satisfy, but wells. A well is what God wants us to draw out of. Not sipping God, not even sipping the world. Because there's some people that they can sip God and sip the world and they'll be satisfied. But you're never going to be truly satisfied, because Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You have to pick one. There's a quote I like, and it says, if you live for God hard, it's easy. And if you live for God easy, it's hard. Think about that. If you live for God hard, you give it all you got, 110%, you're always doing your best, trying, you're praying, you're reading your Bible, you're fasting, you're trying to live for God, it's easy, because that's really satisfying. But if you live for God easy, you're kind of riding the fence, you'll be at church on Sunday, and then on Monday, you're back to your old habits and things like that. It's hard, because there's always a battle, because you're never going to be satisfied until you choose a side. And what this is describing, people that don't sip, or people that sip and don't really drink, they're people that are lukewarm. And the lukewarm is a dangerous place to be. Do you have that scripture, Revelation, about lukewarmness? Revelation. It's all right. If you don't have it, it's on the paper I gave, but it's all right. Anyway, but God is prophesying to the church of Laodicea, which represents, a lot of people think, this end time generation. And he said, you're neither hot or cold. And because of that, he said, God, it makes him sick. There it is. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would that you were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So this sipping God and sipping the world and kind of riding the fence, it really makes God sick. It really does. And so back to my question is, are you addicted? Now, we always think of anybody like would admit that they're addicted to like soft drinks. Like, does anybody go through, like, if you don't have sweet tea or soft drink in, like, you know, a day, you're like, headache, I gotta get something in me. Caffeine. Anyway, well, that's a small addiction. There are people who are actually addicted to caffeine and stuff like that. But, you know, addiction is always talked about in a negative way. And I'm going to kind of bring it out into a positive way. But please don't get me wrong, because I'm not saying addiction is good as far as being addicted to bad things. But there are some conclusions we can draw from studying addiction. Well, addiction is the state of being enslaved to a habit or practice or to something that is psychologically or physically habit-forming. That's all the definition is for addiction. It's a state of being enslaved to a habit or practice, so something that you have to do to survive. And here's some statistics I found that were interesting. In 2010, there was an estimated 22.6 million Americans over the age of 12 that were current or former illicit drug users within the last month. 22.6 million Americans of illicit drugs in the past month. That's about 8.9% of the population. That didn't seem that big of a percentage, but when you think about over the entire population, that's almost 1 out of 10 people that you know. So think of 10 people that you know, and then think of one person that in the past month has used illicit drugs. The drug marijuana is the most commonly used illegal substance. There are about 17.4 million individuals who used this in the past month, and that's a little outdated. That's from 2010. This is 2013, so the numbers have gone even more. And there's an estimated 10 million individuals 12 to 20 years of age that admitted to being drinkers, and 6.5 million were binge drinkers, and 2 million were heavy drinkers. And I'm not talking about any specific addiction. I'm just trying to give you some statistics about, because there is an addiction problem in our world. And in our country. And it's not just alcohol or drugs or whatever, it's food. Some people are really addicted to food. Some people are addicted to sleep. Some people are addicted to like video games and laziness and television and all kind of things. Some people are addicted to running. Here's the thing, real quick, I'm kind of getting off here. When we talk about temperance, which is the fruit of the Spirit, there are things that are good for us that need moderation. For example, sleep. I love to sleep. Everyone has to sleep. It's I mean, you can't live if you don't sleep. But too much sleep is a bad thing. Because if you're sleeping 20 hours a day and neglecting your family or your responsibilities, that's a bad thing, right? Same with food. You have to have food, but too much food is not good for you. And running. Running is so healthy, but if you're a runner and all you do is run everywhere all day, neglect your responsibilities, that's not a good thing. So temperance is a good. I don't know why I said that, but I did. Anyway, so if you have things in your life that you need to be more temperate about, just try it. All right, since 1980, the number of deaths related to drug overdose has risen over 540% since 1980. So in the last, 33 years, it's doubled over five times. The most commonly abused drug other than alcohol in the United States is marijuana, followed by prescription painkillers, cocaine, and hallucinogens. Each year, drug abuse and drug addiction cost employers over $122 billion in lost productivity time and other $15 billion in health insurance costs. And since 1990, the number of individuals who have taken prescription drugs illegally is believed to have risen over 500%. And then I remember this spring in one of my marketing classes, we studied a group of people in, it's another country, but they're having a problem where the young people are addicted to their cell phones. They're having, and it was a whole big thing. How many of you can say I'm addicted to my cell phone? Okay. Thank you for being honest. I am slightly, you know, I was thinking the other day, sometimes I just need to get rid of this thing because it's always in my hand. It's always in my pocket. I'm always checking it and stuff. Anyway, I tell you, go to the mall, go to anywhere where young people are hanging around, and you will see there's an addiction problem to technology in our cell phones. Because, I mean, I was at camp this week, and on Monday night, Brother McGovern preached about zombies. You had to be there. I won't explain it, but the message was about zombies and about this generation being a bunch of zombies. And a friend and I were walking, and we were both on our phones like this, and we weren't even talking to each other. And then she looked at me and she said, you know what? I think the zombie apocalypse has already happened because people are on their phones all the time. We're not interacting with each other. Anyway, there's a problem with addiction in our lives, in America, in the world. And see, addiction is a good thing for the alcohol, the tobacco, the food, energy drinks, video game industries. It's a great thing for them. They want people to be addicted to their stuff. That means they're going to keep buying it. If you're addicted to whatever it is, you have to have it. It's great for them companies. They're going to make lots of money. And so I just want to ask you this question. What would happen if we were addicted to the things of the kingdom of God like we are addicted to the things of the world? Just think about that. Think about these companies that are making, I mean, when you're addicted to something or when you really, really enjoy something or when you thrive on something, you're going to tell people about it. You know, if there's an energy drink that you really like or a new something or whatever, you're going to talk about it. You're going to spend your money on it. You're going to spend your time on it. You're going to spend your energy on it. You're gonna talk about it. You're gonna think about it. Just imagine what God would do through us if we acted that way towards the things of God. Things about worship, to where worship is like, oh, I haven't worshiped today. I haven't spent time in prayer. I haven't read my Bible. I haven't gone to the house of the Lord in a month. I really need to get there because just like the psalm writer, I have desired for the Lord that I will seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He had found something so desirable that he wanted to spend all his time there. He was addicted. So imagine how the kingdom of God would grow if we became addicted to the things of God. In Matthew 5:6, Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Jesus said that we have to hunger and thirst after righteousness, which is a continual longing. It's not that you're thirsty and you're not thirsty anymore, or you're hungry and you're not hungry anymore, but he said hunger and thirst. Those are present verbs. So you have to be, it's something that has to be every day in your life, something that has to be renewed every day, that desire and that hunger for God. And Jesus also said in John 4:14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. But the water I shall give him shall be in a well of water springing up into everlasting life." There's that well again. So we have a kind of a, if you read that verse and you thought about being hunger and thirst after righteousness, it kind of seems like they're kind of at odds with each other. Why did Jesus say that if we found the fountain, the well, that we would never thirst again? But then he says you have to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Because once we found the Lord, we have found what truly satisfies. Because anything that we try to satisfy, I don't know about y'all, but I haven't, there, I think it's all of us, but I have a part of me that is empty. And I think we were born that way. We are longing for something more, bigger than ourselves, bigger than anything we've ever found before. And when we found the Lord, when we found God, we find what truly satisfies. You're craving for something more, for something real, for something, you know, that you can feel, that you can, that gives you hope. It can only be found in God. You have found what satisfies when you have found the Lord. So if we look back at the Pepsi challenge, let's go back to that for a second. So we know that sipping the world, sipping God does not really satisfy. It has to be more than that. It has to be an addiction. So there are four stages of, this is drug addiction, and this is what all the experts have agreed on about the stages of drug addiction, how someone gets addicted to drugs. One is, the first is experimentation. That's what starts the ball, gets the ball rolling, is you have to try it for the first time. Every habit, every addiction, every whatever starts with the first step. The journey, what is it? I don't know. It's like a proverb somewhere. The journey starts with a single step or something like that. Everything that, if you look at any drug addict, if you look at any person that's alcoholic, if you look at any person with anything, and it doesn't have to be bad. It can be someone who started a weight loss journey. And that journey started with one decision to make a healthy habit. So, but everything starts with exposure and experimentation. That's why we have to taste and see that the Lord is good. Because I don't know about y'all, but there was a time where I tasted and I saw that God is good. And that was a first step that pushed me in the addiction process. The second step is regular use. So first you experiment with it. You may try it a couple times. But then you kind of cross the line into regular use. And that's what happens in our life with the Lord. Every one of us in here have a decision to make. You're in church today, so you've been exposed to the things of God, and you can have the opportunity to experiment with them. You can try it out. You can sit here and listen to the words I'm saying. You can listen to the songs that we're singing. You can feel the presence of God. But when you decide to make it regular use, that's the next step. So I just want to help somebody today. I want to help myself, because if you've been struggling in a cycle, you know, Israel got into a sin cycle in the Old Testament. What they would do was they would serve God, and then something would come and distract them, and it would they would turn away from God, and they would worship idols, and they would do all kind of crazy things, and then they would fall into sin, and then that sin, that idol worship, would cause them to go into captivity, and another nation would come in and take their stuff. It would take them, make them slaves, and then God in his everlasting love and mercy would come, and he would take them out. And then they would serve God. And the Bible talks about God putting a judge over them, and the judge worked for a while, and then they wanted to do their own thing, so then they got captive, and then, so it's like a cycle. And I don't know about anybody else, but I've been in some cycles in my life. If you find yourself in a circle, you know, sometimes you feel like you're running 1,000 miles an hour, and then you find out you're right back in the place that you started. And the reason is because you're going in a circle. And God doesn't want us to run in circles. He wants us to run straight. And straightforward. So if you're having trouble with this, if you're having, you know, you find yourself in that circle, that cycle, like I have been before, this is what you need to do. First, you have to experience and experiment that God is good. You have to be exposed to those things. And then you have to decide, I want to make it regular use. I want to do this every day. When Jesus prayed the Lord's Prayer, he prayed, give us this day our daily bread. It's something that I don't know about y'all, but I eat every day. I'm not one of those people that forget to eat. I don't understand how people forget to eat. It's foreign to me. Like, you know, I was so busy. No, when I'm hungry, I'm going to need some food. But that, because just like we get hungry in the natural, we get hungry in our spirit, and we get hungry in our soul. So we have to have that daily bread, regular use. The next step of drug addiction is risky use or abuse. So when people experiment, they experiment, then they decide to use it regular. And then there's always that longing for something more. The eyes of men are never satisfied. And you know what? That is a good thing, because I think that if we can harness that, take that and put it in a spiritual context, if I'm never satisfied with what God gives me, that's a good thing because I'm always going to want more. I'm never going to get bored. I'm never going to get tired of praying. I'm never going to get tired of worshiping. I'm never going to get tired of coming to church. I want to always be wanting more. But the eyes of man are never satisfied. If you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. If you give yourself an inch, you'll take a mile. Because we're never satisfied. So people find themselves in regular use of substances or whatever the habit is. And then they take it to the next level. Okay, well, I'm not satisfied with this, so I'm going to just do a little bit more and then a little bit more. And then it starts going on the risky side. Now, let me warn you. When you make a decision to follow Christ, you know, it's not promised to be a bed of roses. It's not promised to be like an easy way. I'm not trying to scare anybody or make anybody like depressed. It's the best life you'll ever live, I promise you. But when Jesus told his disciples, he said, if you want to follow after me, you have to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Now, I wish he would have said, take up your suitcase, take up your backpack or something. But no, he said cross. The cross is not one of those things like people wear around their neck or, you know, wherever. The cross was an instrument of death. That's how Jesus died on the cross. So when you're taking up a cross, you're kind of on the death road. But it's not a death. It's not a literal death. It's a death to yourself. So that's the risk you take when you decide to live for God. Is it's risky. You know, a lot of times trusting God doesn't make sense to our minds. Doesn't make sense to our intellect or what we can figure out. I've laid in bed so many times running situations through my head. And at the end of the day, I'm just like, you know what, God? I don't understand it. I'm never going to understand it. I can't change it, so I'm going to trust you. And I don't know about y'all, but that's a very risky. That's very hard to do. That's a big leap of faith to trust God. And fortunately, I haven't been in these situations yet in my life, but I've heard countless stories that all of you can tell me about times where you didn't have enough money for bills, or you didn't have gas in your car, or you might not have had food, or there might have been a mountain or a situation in your life that you couldn't figure out, but you decided to trust God, and God came through for you. That's the next step, because after, you know, some people get to that regular use stage, and then they're done. They'll come to church every day. They might even read their Bible every day. They might even pray every day, but they're satisfied with just that regular use. And to become really addicted, to become hooked on God, you have to go past that regular. Because a lot of times with that regular use, we get into routines. I went to church on Sunday. Okay, I read a chapter tonight. Okay, I prayed for 5 minutes. Okay, I'm going to bed. You know, but God's always wanting us to go deeper, to go higher, to go further. So that risky use, that's the key to becoming addicted, because the next stage is addiction and dependency. Does anybody can say that they're dependent on God? Think about that. Think about, you know, some people, they get to that place, if they abuse drugs or alcohol, where if they don't put that in their body, they start having literal physical side effects. They're not able to function. You know, some people take those five-hour energies, and without them, they're not able to function. You know, if some people don't have caffeine in their body, they're just like, you know, it seems like the coffee craze. Have y'all noticed? It's gone crazy in this last year. Is that just me? Anybody else notice that? For some reason, everybody's drinking coffee. It's like coffee, 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 everywhere. Soon they're going to have those coffee patches you can put on your arm, you know, which is like just strikes caffeine into your bloodstream like instantly. But some people, if they don't have their coffee in the morning, they're not going to be able to function throughout the day. That's the place I want to be with God. That's the place I want to get to. It's to where if I wake up in the morning and I get ready, I go out and start my day, and I realize maybe in the morning we need to be like, I don't need my coffee. I don't need to check my phone. I don't need to check Facebook. I don't need to eat. I need God. I need prayer. I need to worship. I need to read my Bible, because that I can't get through my day without that stuff. That's what real addiction is, being totally dependent on the Lord. So winding down here, today I just wanted to encourage somebody, to help someone, and help myself, that you may have tried sipping God before, and it might not have tasted that great, because, you know, people have told you in your life, you know, God is, he's the answer, you know, everyone's like, Jesus is the answer. A lot of times it's a cop-out, because they just want to say, I love the idea that if you have a problem, go pray, But, you know, some people just need, they need coaching, they need help. But you may have tried, someone may have given you a little sip of God. They might not have had a whole well to expose you to. They might have given you a little sip. And you tried that sip and it doesn't taste that great. Or you compare the sip of God to the sip of the world, and the sip of the world tastes better, so you keep sipping the world because you've never been able to expose yourself to more of God. But I will tell you this. Jesus prophesied, and he talked about the Spirit. And he said, it will be like rivers of living water that flow out of your belly. That's a paraphrase. But so Jesus describes more than a sip that we can get from God. He describes something that is ever-present in you, and it's living in you. And what that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's a life, it's a Spirit-filled life. And God, his desire is for us to walk in the Spirit and to have that gift. So if you don't have the Holy Ghost today, you can have the Holy Ghost before you leave this place. We'll pray with you, you know, and that's the only thing that will truly satisfy. Every other cup in this world will run dry eventually. Everything will run out. There's pleasure in sin, but just for a season. You know, I had a conversation with my sister the other day, and we were talking about heaven. We were like, you know, there is really nothing in this world that's worth missing heaven for. I can't think of one single thing. I went through everything in that I can do ever in my life. I can't think of one single thing that is worth, you know, missing heaven, or even those decisions that we make that can destroy your life. You know, those bad decisions, those wrong things that we do. You know, should I take that first drink of alcohol? Should I try that first drug? You know, the best answer, young people, is don't even try it. Don't even do it, because it all starts with one step. So anyway, so every cup will run dry. Every decision you make that's not something that's spiritual, that's godly, it will eventually run dry. But there's a cup that won't ever run dry, and that cup is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in him, you will have true satisfaction. You will have, run the aisles, buddy. He is the only thing that can truly satisfy. And a lot of times it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, you know, to trust God and getting to the point where you're fully relying on God, which is what the definition of faith is, it's risky, like I said before. You know, getting past that regular use requires some risk. It might require you giving up some things. It might require you, you know, turning your phone off for a while and praying. Or just turning your phone off in general. And because, you know, a lot of times, there are days where I'm having a great day until I got on Facebook or Twitter or something, or someone texted me, or someone called me, or something. You know, sometimes we just need to unplug our lives. We just need to just go lay in a dark room and just think. I don't know. But going to that next level might require some risk on your part. It might require you pushing the plate back a couple times and fasting for something. It might require you turn off your cell phone, turning off the television or the video game or whatever you do in your free time. But I promise you that when you decide to have an addicted life to God, it'll be the best decision you've ever made. And none of us are perfect. We're all on that journey. But I have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And nobody else can ever convince me otherwise. And, you know, people may fall. You may stumble. You make mistakes. If you made a mistake today, there's still hope. There's still forgiveness in the house of God. The key is, don't change the formula. Don't replace what's in your cup. Just get more of it. Because the problem might be you just had a little bit of it here and there. But if you really want more, you can have more. You have not because you ask not. Does anybody in here want more of God? Do you want more? Let's just lift our hands and worship for a second. God, we want more of you. We don't want to sip, God. We want to be truly satisfied. And we want you to come into this place, God, and help us and draw us closer to you. God, give us vision. God, give us a desire for the things of God. Lord, we want a hunger and we want a thirst after righteousness that we will be filled. In Jesus' name. If you want to stand over, let's just continue just lifting our hands and worship the Lord.